वर्स नंबर 53। सो नाउ श्री कृष्ण सेज हाउ कैन यू मेक योर माइंड पीसफुल एंड मेक योर माइंड रेडी टू नो गॉड, हाउ कैन आई गेट माई। द नेक्स्ट वर्स इज अ वेरी ब्यूटिफुल प्रेपरेटरी वर्स फॉर अ स्पिरिचुअल सीकर। इफ यू से ओके वॉट इज माई गोल इन लाइफ, टू नो गॉड, दैट इज शुड बी द गोल ऑफ एवरीबडी। इफ नॉट, प्लीज मेक दैट योर गोल, दैट you must do that. That is the only reason to take human birth, is to know God. That is the only purpose of human birth. So how to prepare your mind to know God, become fit to become Brahman, Shri Krishna tells us, verse number 53, ahankaram balam darpam, kamam krodham parigraham, विमुच्य निर्ममः शान्तः ब्रह्म भूयाय कल्पते। सो व्हाट इज दैट वी शुड गिव अप? इन द प्रीवियस वन श्री कृष्णा हैड टोल्ड अस व्हाट टू टेक ऑन, हियर ही इज टेलिंग अस व्हाट टू गिव अप। सो अहंकारम, अहंकारम इज ईगो, एंड ईगो इज द मेन प्रॉब्लम। एवरीथिंग एल्स follows with ego. So ahankaram is ego, balam is strength, darpam is arrogance, kamam is desire, excessive desire, krodha is anger, parigraham is accumulating, collecting unnecessarily. Even I have plenty, still going out to the store and buying, still my house is overfull and I still keep shopping, that is called parigraham, collecting unnecessarily. So he says, give up all these. Give up ego, arrogance, pride, power, desire, anger. Vimuchya, and totally free from that. Once you become free from that, then what happens? Nirmama. Then he says, nothing is mine. Everything is his. Everything is the Lord's. And such a person becomes shantaha, becomes peaceful. And such an individual, Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate, he is fit to become Brahman, fit to become one with God. So let us see one by one in brief. Ahankaram, what is ego? Ego is the main problem. And ego, you know, ego is, when we use ego in Upanishad, it is different from what Freud calls as ego or what people say, you know. Here what we mean by ego is I and mine, that I am the doer and everything is mine. So you should say the Lord is the doer working through me and whatever I have belongs to the Lord. That's why we say na tan man dhan tera, tera tujhko arpan kya lage mera. We say that but we don't give it. Do we give dhan? No. We give man? No. We give tan? No. Nothing we give, but we aarti ke time we chant it very beautifully, sing and leave, but remembering that everything belongs to the Lord, ahankaram. And then this ego, this thing that I am somebody special and I am separate from others, and that is the main problem. I am separate from others and I am separate from God. God is somebody separate. So when that happens, then all the other things come, balam, power. And we see in people like Ravana, he had done so much years of meditation. He was a great devotee of Lord Shiva. He could chant, he knew all the Vedas, everything. But what did he do? The power he got, he used it in wrong direction. And so many, Kansa, look at Shishupala, look at Hiranyakashyapu. He again had so many powers. We all know the story of Hiranyakashyapu. So much power he had, and they all misused it. So power leads to arrogance. That's why Sri Krishna says in the Gita, his in 10th chapter, balam balamatam asmi kama roga kama raga vivarjitam. Balam balamatam asmi kama raga vivarjitam. So he says, I am the power in the powerful. But what kind of power? Which is devoid of kama and raga, devoid of desire, devoid of attachment. So power, if you have the abilities, use it for the benefit of others. In the olden days, people had power of tapas. Nowadays, they have power of weapons. You know, you have more arms, you have more power. So if you have power or a position, it should be used for the benefit of others and should not lead to arrogance. Because that's why they said, pride comes before a fall. When you become proud, you become arrogant, then sooner or later you fall. And so that should be given up. Arrogance should not be there, but humility. That's why even Jesus said, the meek shall inherit the earth. What it means is, it is the humble people who ultimately are happy, are peaceful, are good. Humble does not mean that you become a doormat and like everybody walk over you, but the attitude of humility and gratitude to the Lord is very important. Then he says, desire and anger. Kama, krodha. Actually, Arjuna asks Sri Krishna in the third chapter, he says, Atha kena prayukto yam papam charati purushaha annichanapi varshneya baladiva niyojitaha. So Arjuna asks, what is it that makes people commit sin? Why do people come annichanapi, even though they don't wish it, but what is it that makes people turn towards sinful activities? So Sri Krishna answers, he says, Kama esha, krodha esha, rajogun samudbhavah, mahashano mahapapma, and he says, tyajet, and these should be given up. So why? What does he mean by that? He says, kama and krodha, desire and anger, are your enemies, and they should be given up. Why? Because they come out of rajas. When I'm in a rajasic mood, then I want to get, then I want to have so many desires. And then when I don't get what I want, I get angry. You know, if there is a person who is an obstacle, and he says, mahashano mahapapma, and they make you commit sin, and the mahashana, they devour you. You become totally obsessed with that desire. I must have it, I must have it. And if anybody is an obstacle, I must destroy him. So desire leads to anger. And these are the enemies. And these should be given up. And George Bernard Shaw made a very beautiful statement. I was reading about it. He said, you know, what is the greatest joy in life? So, you know, people might say greatest joy is getting this, getting that. He said, the greatest joy in life is realizing that I am an instrument of nature. I am an instrument of the higher, and I am going to serve the world. But just living like a selfish clod, you know, just working day to day for me, myself, is no joy. He says, the greatest joy in real is in realizing that I am here, and I am an instrument of the higher, instrument of the Lord. So giving up desire and anger, and parigraham. Parigraham, as I mentioned before, is accumulating. Just collecting, just and not sharing, not giving up. So miserliness is a typical attitude of a parisan who is not only collects but refuses to part with anything. You know, never give anything to anybody. Why should I give it? I earned it, it's mine. But the Lord is the one who gave you so much, your ability to work, your ability to think. This story reminds me of a miser who was falling in a daldal, in a, like a quicksand, and he was drowning, he was falling. He said, save me, save me. So this man comes to him and says, give me your hand, give me your hand. And the miser wouldn't. Then he said, take my hand. He said, okay. So he took his hand and came up. That is how we are. You know, give, never. Take, yes, it's okay to take from others, but never to give others. So that is called parigraham. So he says, Krishna says, give that up. And vimuchya, and be totally free of this. Absolutely. There's a Muniji, I mentioned that also before. He says, anger is the worst thing because it burns you much more than it burns anybody else. If the other person may or may not. So give up ahankara, ego, anger, jealousy, greed, arrogance. Give up all these power and all, and become nirmama. Nothing is mine, not mine, not mine. Everything is thine, O Lord. That attitude, and whatever I have is for here to serve. I'm here to serve you. My abilities, my man, my dhan, my everything is here to serve the Lord. And such a person becomes peaceful. He becomes totally peaceful. Because once you don't have these, you don't have desire, anger, arrogance, power, automatically your mind becomes peaceful. Because then the world cannot make me happy or unhappy. One has to realize that. Then you automatically develop peace. Nisargadatta Maharaj actually was a great saint of Maharashtra, in living in the 20th century, in the 1940s and 50s. And he made a very beautiful, he was actually an uneducated bidi maker, but once he went on the spiritual path, he became a great scholar without going to school or college, just by meditating on I am that. So he makes a very beautiful statement. He says, when I realize I am all, I develop love. When I realize I am nothing, I develop wisdom. So my life is always between these two banks, love and wisdom. So what does he mean by that? You know, when people say, should I be with others or should I be in solitude? So Nisargadatta Maharaj says, when you are with others, love all. Everybody is me. I am one with all. And when you are by yourself, wisdom. I am fine. I am good. I don't need the world to make me happy. So when I am with others, I am everything. When I am by myself, I am nothing. I am nothing. That alone is. The Lord alone is. So that attitude one should develop. With others, love, you know, compassion, sharing, kindness. And when I am by myself, peace, happiness. So that a person who has all these qualities, Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate, he becomes fit to become Brahman. What do we mean by becoming Brahman? You know, people always have this wrong understanding that Vedantins think I am God, you know, and people misunderstand. When they say Aham Brahmasmi, it does not mean I am God. What it means is God and I are one. That is the, there's a difference. God alone is everything. Not only God and I are one, but God is in everybody. That is the understanding. That's why the teacher, when you go to the teacher will tell you, Tattvamasi, you are that. And then it will say, I am Atma Brahman. This Atma, this Lord within you is the same Lord that is in all. And Prajnanam Brahma, and the right understanding is Brahman. And once the person has the right understanding, meets the right teacher who gives him the right knowledge, then the final understanding is, I am that reality. This body, mind and intellect are my equipment. I have talked about it, but that is called Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate. So by giving up all these things, you don't become Brahman. It's not that you have reached, but you have prepared, just as when you to do PhD, you first do high school, then you do bachelor's, then you do master's. And then you say, PhD, Bhuyaya Kalpate. He is now ready to become PhD. He is now ready to take on PhD, having done the master's. So similarly, all what we have studied today and this are preparatory sadhanas. So having practiced these, now you, and having meditated, that takes you to that state of godhood, the state of Brahmanhood, the state of sainthood, which you and I should practice all of these. So the idea is that slowly I should give, internalize, I should look within and see, do I have these qualities? Do I have ego? Do I have pride? Do I have power? Do I have anger? Do I have excessive desire? So slowly give up these arrogance, all of these, and work on it. It's not going to happen overnight, because, you know, I've been doing this something for 50 years, 60 years. And it's the same way people come and sit for meditation and they come in 2 weeks and say, you know what, my mind runs too much, I'm going to give up. You know, you've trained your mind for 60 years to run too much and, you know, spend too much time in. So it takes a while, it takes practice. So with patience, one can develop these qualities and avoid these qualities. That's why the two verses are very good. This is what I should develop and this is what I should avoid. And once I have done that, then such an individual is fit to become Brahman, fit to reach the highest. So that is the essence of these two verses. We don't have too much time to do a third one, but anybody has any questions, any comments on this or any other spiritual topic, if anybody wishes to discuss. We have about 10 minutes, so we can talk.
Thought about knowing your nature and behaving accordingly. Would that mean you cannot change if your nature is like something that we are tamed to you?
That's a very good question. So I think in even Vimalji was talking this week, actually, when these Mahatmas come, you should come and listen. They speak a lot of wisdom. But see, when we talk about our nature, there are two aspects to my nature. One is the permanent God, Brahman, the consciousness, which we here has put as Om. And that is my higher nature. That is who I really am. That is because I am that immortality. That's why in the Mundak Upanishad, we are doing that in the Wednesday evening class. So if somebody would like to join Wednesday 8 to 9, we're doing Mundak Upanishad. And there they talk about there are two birds sitting on a tree. There's a one higher bird and who is sitting just peacefully doing nothing. And then there is a lower means not lower, but who is the bird who is, one is sitting quietly, other one is running from branch to branch and eating fruits. You know, so when he eats a sweet fruit, he gets very happy. Aha, ha, maja aa gaya. And then next time he eats a fruit and it's sour, it's bitter, then he starts crying, he's unhappy, and then he goes to that other bird. You know, I got this horrible fruit. And then after a while he said, but I need more fruit. So he'll runs from tree to tree, branch to branch, in the same tree, branch to branch, and looking for fruit. And the other bird is just sitting peacefully and watching, just watching. So our personality is, nature is like that. We have two birds. One is that permanent reality, which is just sitting and observing, which is the Lord within me. And that is what we say, know your true nature, is to discover that. But we also have a lower nature. That's why they say higher prakriti and lower prakriti. Lower prakriti is these vasanas and this body, mind, intellect, perceiver, feeler, thinker. So my nature. So because of my vasanas, because of my desires, I have developed certain tendencies. And they may be good or they may be bad. And this I have accumulated not only this lifetime, but many lifetimes. So that nature I can change. I can change this nature. Like if suppose a person loves to drink, he's an alcoholic. He can change that. He himself developed it, right? Nobody forced his glass down his mouth. He went to the store, bought the bottle, drank it. So any of these habits, they say, ito meri aadat hai, main nahi badal sakta. You know, this is my habit, I can't change it. But you yourself developed the habit. Whether it's drinking, whether it's smoking, whether it's anger, whether it's, you know, greed or jealousy, all these, you say, oh, that's my nature. I'm a very angry person. So don't come near me. But you develop that anger. You know, nobody forced you. When you were born as a child, you were not born with, you may have been born with certain vasanas and tendencies, but these you have accumulated either in this life or previous life. So that you can change. So this lower nature, you can change and make it better. That's why they say, you know, the prayer of Saint Francis, where there is anger, let me sow love, where there is hatred, compassion. So these negative vasanas and tendencies, that nature you can change and discover your higher nature. So become one with that with that peaceful bird, and do not run around like the second bird looking for happiness. Because when you get happiness, then you will get sorrow. If you get sweet fruits, you will get sour fruits. So nature is, when they say nature, it's two different meanings. One is my higher nature, which is the Lord, which is Om. And another one is my lower nature, which is the Ashtada Prakriti. That's what even Krishna says, that the lower nature, higher nature is Brahman and the lower nature is the world. So in the world, you know, you will get joys and sorrows. But when you discover your true higher nature, then you no longer, that is complete peace.
Okay, so in that sense, the higher nature is basically constant.
Is constant.
And that's same for everybody.
Yes.
Brahman is same for everybody.
Absolutely.
So the individuals are individuals because of the lower nature.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's what we're talking. So that's, so if that is what is prescribed here as what you should do according to what your nature is.
Yes.
Does that, but that nature can be changed.
Right. Okay. Right. Right. Because I myself developed these habits, I can change them. So
either I develop it, or the way, I guess, person grew up, or the
right.
environment.
Or exactly, whatever. Exactly. The environment, even from previous birth. But even from previous birth, in my previous birth, I must have done, built up those habits which I'm carrying with me. So they can be changed. If I build something, I can I can break it. I can unbuild it. But if somebody else built it, then, you know, I can't. So here I myself build my own nature. And that one has to understand. And that's why you cannot blame God, or you cannot blame my parents, or you cannot blame the circumstances. Yes, the circumstances play a role. But once I have this right knowledge, then I should realize that what is the purpose of, you know, of life is to realize my higher nature. And then function in the world as the Lord, as the saint, as a divine person. So yeah, the lower nature can be changed, but the higher nature is the same in all. Exactly, that's perfect answer. Everybody has, even the plants and the birds and the fish and trees, everybody has that one Brahman. Brahman is one, he is indivisible, cannot be changed. That's why they call him Avyaya and Advaitami. There are no two. There are not no two gods, there is only one God taking multiple forms. Taking the form of Ram and Krishna and Jesus and Buddha and Allah and all of those. Yes?
So everything happening in this life
right.
is coming from the past life.
No, not everything.
Okay.
Sorry, go ahead.
Okay.
Let me finish. Okay, sorry.
Information I wanted to get. Only part of it from the past life is coming to this life, and it has some spare so that it can improve.
Yes.
Just a curiosity question. If somebody gets shot, so did that person kill in the last life somebody?
Probably, yes. Every action that you do is a result of your past act. I mean, whatever happens to you is a result of your past action. Could be in this life or could be in a previous life. May not have necessarily shot. You could have killed in some other way. Maybe you killed somebody with a stick or with a sword or whatever.
So that means the person who the perpetrator in this life, it should be excused, right? Because it's even. I killed last time, you killed me this time.
Yeah, if
that is that right. The question I can understand.
No, that's a very good question. But the point is that every action, you know, sometimes, see, first of all, they say, Gudha Karma no Gati. The path of karma is very difficult to understand. Krishna says that. So to explain karma is very difficult. Like, now what happened to that person? Suppose I molested, I'm a child molester in this life, right? In the next life, probably I will be born in the house of a child molester where I'll be molested. So then you say that the person who molested didn't do anything wrong. It's okay, this child deserved to be molested, right? You're
no,
saying
that. That shouldn't be wrong that way. If you use that logic.
Right.
The only thing is coming from that logic. Then the guy, in my example, he should not be jailed or punished or anything because we are evil.
See, we don't know. See, the point is that, I know this is a very good question. I also think about it. That I'm giving an extreme example, like a child molester next life is born in the house, There is a child, he is molested by his uncle. So the uncle should be fine, right? He should not be punished. No. Actions, again, uncle has a choice whether to kill or not, whether to molest or not. If the uncle chooses to molest this child, he should be punished. If somebody chooses to shoot somebody, even though it was from maybe from his previous birth, but that's where he uses human discrimination. Even though this person did something bad to me, I forgave him. That is higher than taking revenge. See, this is again, then it potentiates the side. So that's where human wisdom comes. That's where discrimination comes. Even though this is my tendency, I will not do it. Because first of all, he doesn't know, right, that in the previous birth, this guy shot me. We don't know. But the fact that I shoot somebody, it's itself should be ground for punishment. Now, ultimately, this is the Lord only who knows. Maybe what I did in, do you know what you did in previous birth? I don't even remember what I did 5 years ago. It's so hard. So we don't remember, and thank God we don't remember, because in the previous birth, if you owed me $1,000 and you haven't given it, then I'll be after. So it's good we don't forget. And so the point is that I should do good karmas. That should be my purpose. And I should use my discrimination. Even if somebody has harmed me, I should forgive.
I don't have time to forgive because I'm already dead.
So you are already dead. Talking about the guy who shot, who did it. If you are dead, yes, then you are gone. Then, or while you are dying, somebody shot, you can say, you know, I must have killed somebody, that's why. So, or if you, you got shot and you didn't die, you ended up paralyzed or you ended up in the hospital.
Does that mean our karma goes in our next birth with us?
Definitely. Of course. 100%. Whatever karmas you do, that's why they have three karmas, agami, prarabdha, and sanchit. So in the previous birth, what I have done is called agami karma, that becomes prarabdha in this life. But if I do more bad karmas, then some of them I may be punished in this life itself. But if I suppose I shot somebody and I didn't get punished, or if I stole money from somebody, didn't get into trouble, then in the next life, I'll have to pay for that. So that is called sanchit. So it's all a cycle. And we don't know what karmas I have done and why what is happening. But the idea of this is that, again, worrying about somebody else, whether he should be punished or not, I try to take it as the karma theory applies to me, me and me alone. And so whatever good is happening, I must have done something good. Whatever bad is happening, I must have done something bad for which I am being punished. And so you accept cheerfully. And at least from aaj se to mujhe galti nahi karni chahiye. From today onwards, at least let me not do things bad. Let me learn from this. So the idea of karma is A, to accept what is happening to you, and B, decide ke from today onward, let me consciously help others. So that way, at least I'm not accumulating negative karmas, not so that I may get heaven or I may get reward from that. By helping others, I'm purifying my mind, I'm reducing my vasanas, and use that not to, some people do karma so I can go to heaven and enjoy. What's the use of that? Again, you'll come back. The idea is do good karma so that I purify my mind, reduce my vasanas, and then my meditation is better, my puja is better, and I come closer to God. So that is the purpose of. So use the karma theory for self-improvement.
Again, the same karma theory. Let's say you got bad things you did next life and the good things. So if you call the karma bank,
right,
liability is an asset. Can we not net out something? Doesn't the Bhagavan net it out? Or say bad?
No, because you don't, right, because you don't stop doing karmas, na? We don't stop. As long as you are alive, you will be doing karmas. Your choice is to do good or bad karmas. If you do bad karmas, your liabilities will increase. If you do good karmas, your assets will increase. No. It's not point. Every good karma gets blessed, every bad karma gets punished. There is no, it's not that you do five good and five bad, you are zero. No. You still have five good and five bad, and you have to pay for those. Only way to get rid of the karmas is to realize. Once you realize the truth, for a realized master, there are no karmas. All his sanchit karmas get burnt, all his agami karmas get burnt, a wise person, realized master, only has to go through prarabdha. Whatever was destined for this life, the wise person has to go through. That's why, you know, Ramakrishna Paramahansa had a very painful cancer, throat cancer with severe pain, you know. And so they go through that because whatever is prarabdha for this life, they cannot change. Realize, it's like an arrow which has been shot. It cannot be brought back. So this life, they have to undergo whatever karmas they have done. But with this realization, they develop a fortitude. They are able to withstand that. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramaya, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kashchit Dukha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Guru Bhyo Namah. Hari.